This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, August 15th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
the Turkish lira rallies as the nation deters short selling in the currency.
And Turkey strikes back against U.S. sanctions with tariffs on American goods.
Stocks in China tumble as the yuan and emerging market currencies slide.
Commodities come under pressure with copper falling to a one-year low.
There were some firsts out of Tuesday's primaries, plus what caused a section of a towering highway bridge to collapse in northern Italy. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees got great pitching from the newly acquired Jay Happ. They beat Tampa Bay 4-1 at the stadium. The Mets lost in Baltimore.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Global stocks struggling for direction as risk appetite is tested by the recent turmoil in Turkey. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 7 points. Dow futures down 73. NASDAQ futures down 16. The DAX in Germany is little changed, down less than a tenth of a percent. CAC in Paris down 0.2%. The FTSE 100 down 0.4%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.7%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 1.6%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 2.88%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.62%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.4% or 95 cents to $66.09 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.7% on $7.80 to $11.92.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.1325, the yen 111.26, and the Turkish lira at 6.1287. Bob.
Karen, that rally in the lira comes as the nation's banking regulator cuts the limit on lender swap transactions to deter short selling in the currency. Meantime, a court in Turkey is once again refusing to free U.S. pastor Andrew Brunson. His attorney tells Bloomberg we could get a higher court ruling tomorrow. This all comes as Turkey strikes back against U.S. sanctions. Bloomberg's Yusuf Gamiladin is in Istanbul with the latest. Good morning, Yusuf.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. The story is moving rapidly. We had another response from Turkey after the combative rhetoric from the Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan in the last 24 hours. A new set of tariffs are being introduced. That's an extra 120% on imported cars from the United States, another 50% on rice, and 140% on spirits. The government is calling the response proportional. We're also hearing from some of the retailers that they are going to stop selling iPhones. This again goes to show that Mr. Erdogan is willing to follow through on some of these threats. Meanwhile, Turkish assets are continuing their recovery. We saw the Turkish lira jump. But the regulator, remember, have the limit on the lender swap transactions. So this is not necessarily the most liquid market at the moment. Stocks and bonds improving as well. From Istanbul, I'm Yusuf Gamiladin, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Yusuf. In Asia today, emerging market currencies remained under pressure while stocks in China led a decline in equities. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from Singapore.
The Indian rupee fluctuated near record lows past 70 to the dollar, while China's yuan hit 6.9 to the dollar, its weakest level since May 2017. The CSI 300 closed down 2.4%, its worst session in 6 weeks, while Hong Kong equities fell for a fourth session as tech giant Tencent tumbled ahead of its earnings. Also hurting the tech space, news that Chinese regulators are said to have frozen approval of new game licenses. That move weighed on Japanese game makers too. Nintendo shares fell 3%, while the topics closed down by 0.8%, and Indonesian stocks started to pare back some of their earlier gains after the central bank there raised the 7-day reverse repo rate to 5.5% from 5.25%. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. Commodities are under pressure this morning, with copper prices falling to the lowest level since July of last year. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. Yes, copper sank below $6,000. That's as investors fret that the Turkish crisis will spill over into emerging markets. It's also hurting demand, which is already threatened by a US-China trade war. We're seeing that hitting stocks. The miners are the worst performers on the benchmark Stock 600. And notable among them is BHP Billiton, which is set to avoid a strike at its top copper mine after agreeing with the union there to put new wage offers to a vote by workers. That potentially saves the industry from industrial action that threatens to disrupt supply at a time of shrinking stockpiles. We're seeing BHP down some 2.7%, which is the lowest level since July the 23rd. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salik, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. On the economic front, inflation in the UK accelerated to 2.5% in July. Core inflation, which excludes food, energy, tobacco, and alcohol, stayed unchanged at 1.9%. The data was in line with economists' forecasts.
Here in the U.S. this morning, the government issues data on retail sales for July at 8:30 Wall Street time. Economists forecasting slower growth. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
In June, retail sales advanced for a fifth month, up 0.5%. At the same time, a key subset of the data, the control group, signaled less momentum. Nonetheless, measures of consumer sentiment point to growth. The Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index is the highest in almost two decades. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. Retail is also the word on earnings today, with Macy's kicking off a wave of results from retailers. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Macy's second quarter numbers will be out before the markets open this morning. Bloomberg Intelligence says the chain's same-store sales were likely dragged down by the shift in the Friends and Family promotion, but analysts think underlying trends improved. Macy's is expected to post an adjusted profit of 50 cents a share on revenue of nearly $5.6 billion. Tomorrow, Walmart, JCPenney, and Nordstrom open their books. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. We are getting earnings from Tencent, crossing the Bloomberg second quarter net income, missing analysts' estimates. Second quarter revenue also missed. Bob.
And at Tesla, three board members will determine if taking the company private is advisable. The board has yet to receive a proposal from Elon Musk, and the New York Times says some board members have told the CEO to stop tweeting.
Berkshire Hathaway boosted investments in Goldman Sachs, U.S. Bancorp, Delta Airlines, and Southwest Airlines last quarter. That's according to regulatory filings, which show Warren Buffett's company now holds a $2.9 billion stake in Goldman. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. Fresh hints on the midterm election outlook. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Four states held primary elections last night, including presidential swing states, Minnesota and Wisconsin. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager reports in Wisconsin, Democrats picked union worker Randy Bryce as their nominee to try to flip retiring House Speaker Paul Ryan's seat.
Bryce will face former Ryan aide Brian Stile in November. In Minnesota, State Representative Ilhan Omar won a crowded Democratic primary to fill Keith Ellison's seat. She hopes to become the first Somali American in Congress. And Christine Hallquist won the Democratic primary for governor of Vermont. She's the first transgender major party nominee for governor of any state. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak.
In Connecticut, Matthew Corey, a Hartford pub owner, won the Republican nomination for a U.S. Senate seat. Corey will face Democratic incumbent Chris Murphy. Also in Connecticut, businessman Ned Lamont won the Democratic gubernatorial primary. Lamont easily defeated Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim, who served time for corruption. Lamont will face Republican nominee Bob Stefanowski in November. A week after the closely contested primary, Kris Kobach claimed Kansas's Republican nomination for governor after his opponent, incumbent Governor Jeff Collier, told a crowd he conceded.
We will make sure that the next governor is fully prepared, and I hope it is a Republican governor.
Kobach will face Democrat Laura Kelly in the fall. The MTA plans to hold expansion of a bus rapid transit service, reduce bus fare evasion patrols, and cut dozens of positions for subway car cleaning. According to the Wall Street Journal, the MTA is seeking $562 million in cost reductions. Italian investigators are trying to determine what caused a deadly bridge collapse in Genoa. At least 37 people were killed. Bloomberg's Kevin Costello reports from Rome.
The local prosecutor's office has said it's ready to open a criminal investigation. In addition to the loss of life, the bridge collapse disaster will have a negative impact on the economy of the port area of Genoa. It will also slow vehicle traffic along one of the major western coastal routes in Italy. The company involved says it's committed to rebuilding the Genoa Highway Bridge. In Rome, Kevin Costello, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thanks, Michael. Now 6:09 on Wall Street, time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And along comes John Stashower. Good morning.
Morning, Bob. The Yankees added reinforcements to the starting rotation late last month in the additions of Jay Happ and Lance Lynn have both paid dividends. Too bad Happ had to miss that start in Boston with the hand, foot, and mouth disease. The three starts he's made for the Yanks have all been solid, and last night was the best, facing Tampa Bay at the stadium. He worked seven scoreless innings, allowed only one hit. The Yanks won 4-1, and Aaron Boone was effusive, praising his lefty.
Yeah, he was great. Needed him to give us some innings, and you know, to go out there and give us seven, you know, really, what do you end up with, four walks? It really wasn't a lack of command. It was kind of good at bats, where long at bats, where the 3-2 counts they kind of won, were able to take a couple close pitches. Other than that, it was a clinic. I thought his command was good, you know, just really working both sides of the plate, great rhythm, great pace to it, and fun to sit over there and watch.
He'll watch Luis Sessa pitch tonight, subbing for the injured C.C. Sabathia. In Baltimore, Jason Vargas actually pitched well for the Mets. He lowered his ERA to 8.10, but the Orioles, with two runs in the seventh and eighth innings off the Mets bullpen, won it 6-3. The Red Sox won 2-1 at Philadelphia. Boston now 51 games over .500. In Atlanta's 10-6 win over Miami, Braves 20-year-old rookie Ronald Acuna hit two more homers. He's hit six in the last five games, and he's led off each of the last three games with a homer. He hit the first pitch out last night. Week two of the NFL preseason starting tomorrow with the Jets at Washington. Sam Darnold expected to start at quarterback. The Giants play Friday in Detroit. They have not yet ruled out their rookie, Saquon Barkley, despite his injured hamstring. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thanks, John. You know, last time the Cleveland Browns won a football game, it was Christmas Eve 2016. Will Christmas come early? Bud Light will have victory fridges filled with beer this season at different Cleveland area bars in the Browns' home stadium. If and when they get that elusive win, fans will get free beer. This is Bloomberg. The Sports Report brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank. With strong relationships and customized solutions, they work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. The lira is rallying after Turkey's banking regulator cut the limit on swap transactions to deter short selling. At the same time, President Erdogan is slapping higher taxes on some US imports. Some Tesla board members have told Elon Musk to stop tweeting. That's according to the New York Times, which says independent directors at Tesla appointed a law firm to handle an SEC probe of the CEO's tweets. US growth may have lost a bit of momentum in July. Economists forecast that headline retail sales growth eased last month as consumers pulled back on purchases of cars and gasoline. And in Brazil, mass protests backing ex-president Lula are expected in the capital today. Lula is fighting for the right to run in October's election, even though he's currently in prison for corruption. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Hannah George, thank you. And Tencent Holdings posted a surprise drop in quarterly profit as regulatory uncertainties hurt the company's ability to make money off marquee titles, and it posted fewer investment gains. S&P futures lower, down 9 points. Dow futures down 88. NASDAQ futures down 25. The DAX in Germany's down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 2.88%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.3% or 85 cents to $66.19 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6%, down $7.70 at 11.93 an ounce. The euro, $1.1327. The yen, 111.28. And the Turkish lira, 6.1675. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, in yesterday's primaries, Democrats in Vermont have nominated Christine Hallquist, the first transgender candidate for governor. Hallquist faces Republican incumbent Phil Scott. In Connecticut, window washer Matthew Corey won the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate. He'll face Democratic incumbent Chris Murphy. In Wisconsin, Democrats pick union worker Randy Bryce as their nominee for retiring Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan's seat. Bryce will face former Ryan aide Brian Stile. The death toll from yesterday's bridge collapse in the Italian port city of Genoa has climbed to 39. In baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost to the Orioles, the Red Sox A's and Giants won, the Nationals lost. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. It is now 6:20 on Wall Street, and joining us is Carl Riccadonna, Chief U.S. Economist for Bloomberg Economics. Carl, before we get to retail sales, I've got a question on the Turkey versus U.S. tensions that have been in focus this week. I want to toss at you. We have President Erdogan slapping higher taxes on U.S. imports and calling for a boycott of American electronics like the iPhone. His counterpart, Donald Trump, has already unleashed tougher tariffs than it seems anyone expected on Turkey. In terms of its potential impact on the economy, is this just an extension of Trump's trade war, or is this a risk that's in a class by itself?
I think, first of all, good morning, Bob. I think this isn't a risk in a separate category, and I'll call that category a negligible risk to the U.S. outlook. The direct transmission mechanism from U.S. exports to Turkey or vice versa is very, very minor. Turkey is a larger economy than Greece, but I don't think we can draw that connection because the issues we saw when Greece was having economic problems was really concerns over the broader European Union and the Eurozone more so than the specific economy of Greece. The same thing is true with Turkey. So what we're watching here is the risk of financial contagion into the banking system. If there are tariffs on American products or Turkish products, that's really not going to move the needle for U.S. growth prospects.
Thanks, Carl. Good to get that clarification. Now let's move on to retail sales. The government issues its data at 8:30 this morning, Wall Street time, and economists are forecasting slower growth. What's bugging consumers?
Well, Bob, remember that expression, what goes up must come down. That's what we're seeing with the consumer spending and the retail activity as we move past the mid-year mark. Consumers had a gangbusters quarter in the second quarter, growing at about a 4% pace in terms of consumer spending. And the fact of the matter is that household income creation has not kept up with that. And so that means we have to see some moderation. And we've seen this episode play out countless times in the current cycle. Consumers have a strong quarter and then ultimately have to pause and catch their breath because their paychecks haven't kept up with them. And that's very much what we'll see in July. We already got a strong hint that this would be the case in the unit motor vehicle sales data for the month, and we saw unit motor vehicle sales down about 4%. So that was a pretty sharp pullback. That means headline retail sales may even be negative in the month. This is not a sign consumers are rolling over. Again, this is the pause that refreshes.
This has got to be driving a lot of these companies crazy because not only can they not sell into the market as easily now, but they've really had problems with pricing power as well, right?
Yes, this will create some real questions about their business plans for the second half of the year because a lot of folks did think that 4.1% GDP growth and 4% consumer spending reported in the second quarter would potentially be sustainable. Now they'll see that there's a pullback and potentially a pretty severe pullback happening in the back half of the year. Now, my team is still constructive on economic prospects, but we're looking for growth to settle in around 2.8% in the back half of the year, and that tells us that this dramatic trajectory in the first half of the year, whether it's consumer spending, growth overall, or even inflation, as you mentioned, pricing powers, all of those upward slopes are turning out to be not quite as steep as what they looked like as we were in the middle of the second quarter.
Thank you very much. That is Bloomberg's Carl Riccadonna, Chief U.S. Economist for Bloomberg Economics. Let's take a forward look at the markets now. S&P futures currently down by 9 points. That is almost a third of a percent. Dow futures have carved off 88 points. NASDAQ futures down by 30 points. 10-year Treasury prices up 5/32. The yield down to 2.8804%. West Texas Intermediate crude this morning is down 1.25% at $66.20 a barrel. Brent crude is lower by almost 1% to $71.80 a barrel. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. And a reminder that New Jersey transit problem could be causing you problems this morning. Up to 60-minute delays on train service in and out of New York Penn Station. This is Bloomberg Radio.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning to you. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are falling as risk appetite is tested by the recent turmoil in Turkey. The Turkish lira is stronger after the nation's banking regulator cut the limit on the lender's swap transactions to deter short selling in the currency. The lira right now is currently up 2.7% against the dollar at 6.1837.
A court in Turkey, meantime, is once again refusing to free U.S. pastor Andrew Brunson. His attorney tells Bloomberg we could get a higher court ruling tomorrow. At the same time, Turkey is striking back against U.S. sanctions. Bloomberg's Simon Demirkan reports from Istanbul.
From cars to alcohol, Turkey has slapped an additional tax on imports of a broad range of American goods. A calculation by Bloomberg shows the items listed account for $1 billion of imports last year. This is similar to the amount of Turkish steel and aluminium exports that were subjected to higher tariffs by Washington implemented last week. This also follows a call by President Recep Tayyip Erdogan to boycott U.S. electronics, including Apple iPhones. In Istanbul, Simin Demirkan, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Simin, thank you. The Turkey turmoil is also impacting the commodities market. Copper sank below $6,000 a metric ton. Investors fear the Turkish crisis will spill over into emerging markets, hurting demand already threatened by the U.S.-China trade war.
Hong Kong intervened to defend its peg to the dollar for the first time in 3 months. That's after the local currency fell to the weak end of its trading band.
In the U.K., inflation accelerated in July for the first time in 8 months. Annual consumer price growth quickened to 2.5%.
And in China, Tencent is out with earnings. The company posted a surprise drop in quarterly profit, with net income falling by 2%. It is now 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for your Volatility Index report. And the VIX fell yesterday to close at 1331. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently climbing again. It is up to 1393. And that's this morning's volatility report.
And futures this morning are lower. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures now down almost 12 points. Dow futures down 108. NASDAQ futures down 42. The DAX in Germany down about 0.2% now. 10-year Treasury up 6/32. The yield 2.87%. The yield on the 2-year 2.62%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.4% or 92 cents to $66.12 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.7% on $8.90 to $11.91.80 an ounce. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, thank you. That brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. More midterm candidates make the cut in some of the battleground states. The latest primary returns now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. 4 states held primary elections yesterday. In Wisconsin, Democrats picked union worker Randy Bryce as their nominee to try to flip retiring House Speaker Paul Ryan's seat. He'll face former Ryan aide Brian Stile in November.
This fall, voters are going to have a clear choice between our Wisconsin-style solutions and my opponent's Washington-style politics.
Christine Hullquist won the Democratic primary for governor of Vermont. She is the nation's first transgender major party nominee for governor.
Tonight we made history. We already made history. And And I'm so honored to be recognized, to be part of this historical moment, I guess.
Hallquist will face Republican incumbent Phil Scott in November. In Connecticut, businessman Ned Lamont won the Democratic gubernatorial primary. Lamont will face Republican nominee Bob Stefanowski. Also in Connecticut, Matthew Corey, a Hartford pub owner, won the Republican nomination for a U.S. Senate seat. Corey will face Democratic incumbent Chris Murphy. Closing arguments are set for this morning in the bank and tax fraud trial of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager is in Washington.
Manafort's defense rested its case yesterday without calling witnesses and after losing a final bid to have the case dismissed. Manafort attorney Kevin Downing.
We live in the United States of America, and you're presumed innocent until proven guilty. And we believe the government cannot meet that burden.
After closing arguments, Judge T.S. Ellis will issue a final set of instructions to the jury, and deliberations will begin. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio.
States of emergency have been declared after severe flooding in New Jersey and New York State. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy declared a state of emergency in the counties of Bergen, Essex, Monmouth, Ocean, and Passaic. New Jersey Transit is reporting up to a 60-minute delay for train service in and out of Penn Station. Overhead wire problems. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
6:35 on Wall Street. Thank you, Michael. It is time now for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, John Stashower.
Morning, Bob. Since the nightmare weekend series in Boston, the Yankees are 7-2. They're 31 games over 500. Last night at the stadium, they beat Tampa Bay 4-1. Austin Romine with a two-run homer. The big story was Jay Happ. He worked seven scoreless innings, allowed only one hit. Aroldis Chapman got the save. Yanks and Rays again tonight. Luis Sessa starts for the injured CC Sabathia. After beating the Yanks in the Bronx, the Mets went down to Baltimore, and the Orioles hit three home runs and won 6-3. The Jets have been working out with the Redskins. Two teams will play a preseason game tomorrow. Redskins cornerback Josh Norman has come away from the workouts impressed with Jets rookie quarterback Sam Darnold.
You know, you get rookies in here and you're trying to like mess with them and bait them a little bit and thinking that you're going to throw a route that you know you can make a play on, and he's not having it. And it's so crazy to see that at an early age.
Darnold's been working with the first team. He's expected to start tomorrow. 2 months after lineman Jordan McNair died of heat stroke suffered in a workout, University of Maryland President Wallace Lowe met the media.
The university assesses legal and moral responsibility for the mistakes that our training staff made on that fateful workout day of May the 29th, which of course led subsequently to his death on June 13th.
The apology coming only after reports surfaced of a pattern of verbal abuse by Maryland staff members and that no one called 911 for an hour after McNair's seizure. The strength coach yesterday resigned. Two trainers and head football coach DJ Durkin are on leave pending investigation. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob.
Thank you, John. Now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
45 years ago, Congress passed the Endangered Species Act, quietly and near unanimously. Everyone wanted to avoid the extinction of wildlife, to save the likes of the California condor, the Florida panther, and the North Atlantic right whale for their aesthetic, ecological, educational, historical, recreational, and scientific value to the nation and its people. But the new law proved to be more sweeping than lawmakers realized, protecting as it does every sort and size of plant and animal on public and private lands. It wasn't many years before small wild creatures got in the way of big human plans, and complaints began. This year they've crescendoed, with private landowners and commercial interests pushing all three branches of the federal government to trim the ESA's power and to impose inflexible limits on species protection. The act could well be amended to encourage greater cooperation between conservationists and business interests, but officials would better spend their time creating incentives for states and landowners to help protect species and by better funding recovery efforts. Weaker protection for endangered species is not what Americans wanted 45 years ago, and a half century of success hasn't changed their minds. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Come late November, a federal appeals court is set to look into restrictions on how large political contributions can be used. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
The Libertarian Party wants the court to decide if restrictions should be placed on extremely large donations approved back in 2014.
Previous to this provision, the most that you could give to a national political party committee was about $30,000. It increased it to more than $300,000.
But Bloomberg government's Ken Doyle says the money can only be used for party conventions, legal costs, and improvements to party headquarters.
The Libertarian Party is arguing that that's an unconstitutional limit on free speech in terms of what money, political money, can be spent for.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. Now 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. Scientists across Alaska are scrambling to understand why thousands of seabirds are dying along vast stretches of coastline from the Gulf of Alaska northward to the Bering Sea. Some scientists think rapid ocean warming from climate change is affecting the availability of food sources for the birds this summer. They've determined the birds starved. They're just not sure how. With more data needed, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the National Park Service have jointly called for the public's help. Observations of sick and dying birds and fresh carcasses, those less than 24 hours old, are crucial. Researchers suspect a loss of sea ice has kept the ocean floor warm. It's the least ice they say they've seen, and they say the average temperature for the lower column of the northern Bering Sea is generally around 29 degrees Fahrenheit, but this year, it's been measured at nearly 36 degrees, a change big enough to cause ripple effects throughout the ecosystem. The quest now is to find out whether starvation in birds is among the impacts. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures currently down 10 points. That is a third of 1%. Dow futures carving off 94 points. NASDAQ futures down by 37 points. 10-year Treasury yield at 2.8768%. This is Bloomberg. And again, New Jersey Transit is reporting problems out of New York Penn Station today. 1 hour delays in and out of New York Penn Station. Be aware of that as you commute this morning.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures this morning are falling, extending their declines. Let's go to the first word, breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure as Turkish concerns continue. Dow futures now down 130 points. S&P's dropped 14 and NASDAQ futures declined by 48. The U.S. 10 yield drops to 2.87%. Shanghai fell 2% overnight, while European markets are also trading lower this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, Empire Manufacturing, non-farm productivity and retail sales. And at 10 o'clock, business inventories and the NAHB housing market index. After the bell last night, Agilent EPS beat estimates. Revenues were in line. And regarding earnings this morning, look for a Macy's to report around 8 a.m. In deal news, Constellation Brands to invest $4 billion into Canopy Growth. Shares are up 18% in the pre-market. And in other news, Tencent missed estimates. Alibaba and Baidu are trading lower in the pre-market. Wrapping things up, Norfolk Southern upgraded to buy at Deutsche Bank. Chipotle upgraded to overweight at Morgan Stanley. Kimberly-Clark was downgraded to hold at SocGen. And NVIDIA upgraded to outperform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First at Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Italian authorities have raised the death toll in the Genoa Highway Bridge collapse to at least 39. The Morandi Bridge collapsed without warning yesterday, sending dozens of vehicles plunging as much as 180 feet below. Vermont Democrats have nominated the nation's first transgender candidate for governor, Christine Holquist, in Tuesday's primaries. In Brazil, mass protests backing ex-president Lula are expected in the capital today. Lula is fighting for the right to run in October's election, even though he is currently in prison for corruption. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost to the Orioles 6-3. The Red Sox, A's, and Giants won. The Nationals lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, it was on this date in 1969, the three-day Woodstock Festival kicked off. 10 times more attendees than expected, around 400,000, heard Janis Joplin, the Grateful Dead, and The Who. On the third day, the number dwindled to 25,000 by Monday morning. But, Bob, that's the group that heard Jimi Hendrix's rendition of the Star Spangled Banner to close the event.
On the third day. It sounds almost biblical, Michael. You said it was on this date in 1969. Next year is 50 years?
Yes. And I've been to Bethel Woods many times in New York, and I keep forgetting how important historically that place is.
Hmm.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. It is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include another round of primary results in the book as we head towards November's midterm elections. Closing arguments come this morning in the bank and tax fraud trial of Paul Manafort. And the Senate returns to Capitol Hill today to take up a backlog of judicial nominations. Let's get more on these stories now from Bloomberg Television and Radio Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli. Kevin, good morning. Welcome. Let's start with yesterday's primaries. What stands out to you about these results?
A couple of things. First and foremost, I think we should note that President Trump's ally, Kris Kobach, won in the nomination for Kansas governor. This was a hotly contested Republican nomination process, and he has won this very tense runoff. And then I really had my eye on a race in Wisconsin, because there was a situation where you had Leah Vukmir. She was a state politician who had a lot of experience. And actually, there was video that surfaced of her criticizing President Trump, and her Republican primary challenger, Marine Corps veteran Kevin Nicholson, is a business consultant, and he tried to use that against her. And she actually ended up winning.
Interesting. So how about the women who won in a lot of these races?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because this is part of a larger trend that we've seen this midterm cycle in the sense that more women candidates are winning. Five of the six U.S. Senate nominees in the battleground states of Minnesota and Wisconsin will be women. And this also comes at a time in which you've seen, you know, a host of other stories dominating and women really emerging as a key trend that we're watching in the political world.
Let's move on to that trial in Alexandria, Virginia. We're heading into
the
final day of the tax and bank fraud trial of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. How do we expect things to play out today?
It was interesting, because we've been carefully following this trial, and actually Paul Manafort's attorneys and legal team did not choose to call any witnesses of their own. They just simply rested their case. So this is the closing arguments today. And, of course, he is charged with a host of financial fraud charges and allegations, but chief among them, conspiring against the United States. Now, the sources that I talk with in the administration, they argue that this is a completely separate issue in terms of the Mueller probe, but the context of everything is very much the shadow hanging over Washington, which is the special counsel's investigation.
So they've got final arguments now, and because the Manafort side did not present a lot of new evidence, they're sort of limited in what they can say in their closing arguments, right?
They're limited in what they can say, and also there doesn't seem to be the type of dramatic shift or legal bombshell that would provide them momentum. I don't want to get ahead of myself in terms of predicting an outcome, but it has been quite remarkable to just watch over the past several days to hear witness after witness, and of course so much attention being focused on Paul Manafort's right-hand man, Rick Gates, who has completely flipped in terms of his alliance with Paul Manafort. He, of course, is now working in full cooperation with the U.S. prosecutors.
You mentioned the wider Russia probe. Looks like things could drag on for a while.
Yeah, so this is fascinating in terms of the legal arguments, because President Trump and his legal apparatus, including, of course, former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, have said that the Mueller probe would have to be wrapped up, and that they would have to submit some type of their findings by September 1st on this deadline. I've heard that more times than I can count from my sources that are aligned with this administration. But now we're hearing, and there's a great story by my colleagues, Shannon Pettypiece on the terminal this morning, that is not necessarily the case, and that the special counsel's office feels that they can continue this investigation for as long as they want. Very quickly, I would note that the polling on this suggests that the base of the Republican Party is still very much backing the president and his attacks against the special counsel's office. A CBS poll found that 7 in 10 Republicans support the president and his attacks, as labeling this as a quote-unquote witch hunt, that poll out earlier within the last week. And Democrats obviously disagree with that. That said, I would note 3 in 10 Republicans who disagree with that is a considerable amount.
I want to take you back to the Manafort trial for just a moment and get your informed speculation about what would happen in either case, whether there's a guilty or an innocent verdict here. Are we going to hear a lot of tweeting from the president after or not?
I think we will. I think that he will have to weigh in on this to some extent. He has, if you look at the trend and what his public comments have been, he's trying to distance himself from his former campaign chairman, which I can tell you that as someone who has covered this campaign virtually since the beginning, Paul Manafort was deeply involved in a host of different apparatuses or apparati, from counting delegates to the Republican convention. So, I mean, this was someone who was intimately involved with the inner workings of President Trump's, then candidate Trump's political strategy, as well as to the infrastructure surrounding his campaign. That said, we're going to have to wait and see. I think, if anything, I mean, who would have thought that Omarosa Manigault Newman would be driving as many many news cycles? And I can tell you it's been fascinating to watch that.
Bloomberg Television and Radio Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli, thank you so much. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
Thank you, Bob. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
OST Global Solutions is a Rockville, Maryland-based consulting firm that has launched an incubator to give small businesses a leg up in federal contracting. The incubator program highlights the specifics of government bid proposals. Olesius Mitrova is the CEO of OST.
We teach small businesses about anything from finding opportunities to developing their capability statements that are tailored to each customer, up to capturing those opportunities well ahead of the RFP issuance, to writing proposals, to doing all the paperwork.
Government set-aside programs give small and minority-owned businesses an advantage in federal contracting, but you have to understand how to price your bid. Matroba says a lot of small businesses underestimate their costs and wind up leaving a lot of money on the table, or worse, losing their shirts. And that's today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. I'm John Tucker.
John Tucker, thank you. And again, futures this morning are falling. S&P futures down 16 points now. Dow futures down 151 and NASDAQ futures down 52. So we've been seeing futures deteriorate throughout the morning. The DAX in Germany also down 0.7%, also deteriorating. The 10-year Treasury up 7/32nds, yield 2.87%. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.